a salmon forecast for the Taku, and local Olympians. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell, in for Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories, plus our essay feature, Small Things Considered, up next. Salmon trollers will not be able to target Taku River salmon this May. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced the 2014 Taku River Large King Salmon Forecast Tuesday and predicts a run of only 26,800 fish. That's just over 3,000 fish shy of what is required to allow trollers to target the early run. Dave Harris, ADF&G's Juneau Area Management Biologist for Commercial Fisheries, says the forecast is better than last year, but still poor.
If the forecast was a higher number, then it's possible we could have had fisheries, right? We might have had, a one-day-a-week gillnet fishery or some such thing, depending on how strong the anticipated return was. More fish need to come back before we can expand on the, before we'd have directed fisheries.
Biologists want between 19 and 36,000 kings to reach their spawning grounds on the Taku. Last year, only about 18,000 fish made it. Harris says biologists will revise their forecast once the fish start returning in May. It's still possible trollers could get their shot at Taku kings.
Once that information is in hand, if it's doing much better than we anticipate, we could actually have fisheries at that point. Or if it's doing worse on the other hand, we can be more conservative too.
But Harris is not particularly optimistic. He believes that it is unlikely that any directed king fisheries will occur in the Taku River District in 2014. The Barnes Committee Room at the Alaska Capitol erupted in cheers Tuesday morning as a panel of lawmakers unanimously moved a bill that would make 20 Alaska Native languages official state languages. As KTOO's Casey Kelly reports, dozens of people testified in favor of the measure. House Bill 216.
UAS Professor Lance Twitchell greeted the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee in Tlingit. While English is the only official language of Alaska, Twitchell said this is not an English-only state.
For over 10,000 years, there have been other languages here, and they are still here today.
Twitchell is a native language specialist at the University of Alaska Southeast. He described a crisis point in the effort to save native languages. The average Alaska native tongue has fewer than 1,000 speakers, the vast majority of whom are over the age of 70. The last fluent speakers of Eyak and Holakachuk Athabaskan died within the past decade. Twitchell said language loss is tied to a history of repression and discrimination against Alaska natives.
I see dying languages and escalating suicide rates and think, how can those things not be connected? I see the end result of cultural genocide and think, how can we just decide to accept this? There is no magic solution for language loss, but there is the promise of unity and recognizing that solutions exist.
He said House Bill 216 is one of those solutions.
I sit here as your peer. I sit here as your equal. We may speak different languages, but mine is just as valuable, just as necessary, and just as useful as yours.
Bethel Elder Esther Green taught Yupik in the Lower Kuskokwim School District before she retired. Green said learning a language is a form of cultural preservation.
Language and culture go together, and they cannot be separated.
Savoonga High School students Beverly Tooley and Chelsea Micklehook introduced themselves in Siberian Yupik. The language is no longer taught in their school, but the girls said they learned to speak it from their grandparents. Nome Democrat Neil Foster asked if they would be interested in taking native language classes.
If the classes were to be reintroduced into the school, are those classes that you would want to take?
Yes.
Great.
Barrow Democrat Ben Nagiak is the only member of the legislature who's a fluent speaker of a native language, Inupiaq. Fittingly, he made the motion to move HB 216 to the next committee.
I move House Bill 216, donated 28-LS0905/U from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
So moved.
Bill passes from committee.
Prime sponsor, Sitka Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins, said he was moved by the support for the bill.
And this is a bill that very much felt as though it's of the people, belongs to the people who testify today, and belongs to people across Alaska who believe in the cultural importance of Native languages.
Nobody testified against the legislation. Its next stop is the House State Affairs Committee. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
It's not too late to win a gold medal at the Winter Olympics, even if you're not in Sochi, even if you're not that athletic.
It's called a backwoods tea making contest. So it's about boiling water.
That's Jessica Edwards with the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds, where the Haines Winter Olympic Games will be held on Saturday. One of the less physical but more entertaining events is the tea making contest.
You have an axe and you have some firewood and you have a lighter. And you have to create a fire and get a coffee can full of water to boil. And it is a game of speed. Of course, you know how watching boiling water goes. It's not as fast as you always hope it will be.
The Haines Winter Olympics started in the late 1990s and was revived a few years ago. It occurs annually depending on weather. This year's weather allows for some true winter sport, with snow and ice intact so far at Dalton City. The day's games start at 10 a.m.
We have some really fun events. We'll start it with opening ceremonies with certainly some pageantry, the Olympic theme, and we'll have a cauldron.
The first event at 10:15 is a BB gun biathlon with cross-country skiing and shooting.
And we're hoping that we have good snow for skiing around the fairgrounds. So there'll be a couple loops, and then you take some time to shoot at some targets with the BB gun. That we include penalty laps for missing your shots and all that, so it ends up being a pretty good workout.
After the biathlon is done, around 11 is a popular return event, the Iditarod dog sled pull for kids.
It's pretty fun, and people can bring dogs, please on leashes. And if you don't have a dog, come ahead and bring your children, and usually we can match up dogs and kids, and it's really, really great. The dogs get really into it, or they don't. And both of those are pretty fun to watch.
The chili cook-off is at noon, with all chili entries welcome for judging, then eating in a potluck for the crowd during the medals ceremony.
Very Alaska style, probably using pallets for podium.
A youth hockey game follows at 12:15, then an adult hockey game at 1 p.m. No early sign-up required, but adults can call Damon at 314-0907 to get on the hockey team. This year's Haines Winter Olympic Games are Saturday, February 22nd, starting at 10 a.m. at the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds. And now, with our essay feature, Small Things Considered, here's local writer Rosalie Lowen.
I am not one well acquainted with the terrain of grief. I have a habit of being happy, but in every full life, bad things will happen. Last summer, I lost a baby, a miscarriage at 13 weeks. I know that it's not uncommon. I understand it was probably for the best, but still, to me, it felt as if a whole life, a whole person, had been lost. When I was younger, I used to think that the sadness that accompanied a bad thing was the worst part of the bad thing, like the pain that comes with a broken arm or a bad burn. Now I understand that sadness can be relief. It can be the balm that soothes the burn, the cast that sets the bone. It's different for everyone, but for me, grief was a quiet space in which I could rest and heal. The clang of the world was mercifully hushed. It was such a respite from all the small worries, the nagging ambitions, the ceaseless appointments and schedules. And a little later, when the volume on life began to come back up, it made everything seem new and burnished and intense. Above all, my two sweet daughters, with their hearts beating steadily away in the miracles of their bodies. Grief has a purpose and a task, and it seems that in every culture except our own modern one, time is respectfully set aside for this, whether it's a year in black clothes or a week of sitting Shiva. I believe that we do ourselves a great disservice when we hurtle by our own opportunities to heal, clinging to the runaway horses of our lives, afraid to fall off, to miss a paycheck, a meeting, a telephone call. Since then, I have climbed back onto the merry-go-round of work and carpools and laundry and bills, but there is still a gap in my life, a lacuna where there is and isn't a child. I step into that space sometimes, as I did the other night in my kitchen, when everything around me seemed to stop and hover, and I looked at my hands measuring out sugar and realized, with a sudden intense clarity, it is the salt that makes the caramel so sweet.
That was Rosalie Lowen with our essay feature, Small Things Considered. And for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell, in for Margaret Friedenauer, who will be back in the newsroom on Monday.